All right, let's talk more Eagles football with our next guest. Ray Dittinger, of course, joins us every single Monday at this time. And Ray, as always, is brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with Unlimited Ultimate. By the way, reminder, Seth Joyner today at 9 o'clock. And if you have to go into work, you know, prior to 9 and can't continue to listen, remember, you can go back later today, Odyssey app, and listen to Seth from 9 to 10, listen to Ray, listen to all the interviews we're going to do through the week, including Nick Sirianni tomorrow at 8:40. Let's welcome right now the Diddy, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, sir, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
Just fantastic. So, Ray, how impressed were you with what the Eagles did yesterday?
Very. I'm sure that's all you've been talking about all morning. I mean, that was a no doubt about it domination. It really, once you got past the first drive,
yep,
which was a little scary. Once you got past that, and the Eagles got things going, I mean, they were in complete control of that game. And you can talk last week the Giants. I mean, they dominate the Giants, but you got to put it in context and say, you know, how good are the Giants? Not very. But this was a game against a good team, against a great quarterback that needed to win just as much as the Eagles. I mean, they're coming trying to overcome a bad start, and this is a big game for them at home to try and get their season back on track. And the Eagles went in there and really, really played well. I mean, on both sides of the ball, this was probably their most complete performance. And it really, you know, with Jacksonville coming in here next week and the realistic prospect of being 6-2 at this point in the season, with a whole lot of road games behind you now, things are setting up very nicely for this team.
What's the temperature right now, Ray, with Jacksonville and Doug Peterson? We know earlier in the season it was pretty dicey job security wise for Doug. But they, this game, they took Green Bay down to the wire. How's Doug looking in terms of job security?
Not too good. Not too good, John. The owner a couple weeks ago when they went over to London to play, which it seems like they do every other week, but a couple weeks ago when they went over there, the buzzards were really circling, and the owner came out and said, "I'm not anticipating any changes from my coach and general manager." Which, you know, you can take that any way you want to take it. To me, it's often a bad sign.
Yeah,
the dreaded,
right,
as they refer to it, the quote-unquote dreaded vote of confidence. Mm-hmm. And right now, where they are, Doug's in a bad spot because they've got only got two wins, had a couple of real bad losses, and now they got a ton of injuries. And they're coming into and you look at their schedule coming up the next several weeks. I mean, they got some real heavyweights coming up, and obviously coming into Philadelphia right now isn't the easiest assignment. So, my fear is that if this season continues on the path that it is right now, I mean, this is looking like maybe a 4-13 kind of year, and I just don't
know
if Doug, I just don't know if Doug can survive that. I mean, at the start of this year, they were talking about, or the owner was talking about, being a playoff team. They were disappointed that they felt last season got away from them, and the owner kind of made this season a mandate that, you know, we're going to be in the postseason. And it looks like right now that's a real long shot. And if they fall short, if they fall way short, which they could,
yeah,
I'm afraid it's going to cost Doug his job.
Well, my worry is that desperation could translate to the Jacksonville Jaguars looking like,
yeah,
a good team against us.
All right, Ray, let's just stick with the Eagles game from yesterday, though, if we can, before we preview 6 days from now. So Jalen's performance yesterday, can you put into context what it means from your perspective for this season and the bigger picture for him as the Eagles starting quarterback? I thought it was a tremendous step forward yesterday, Ray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I mean, last week, even though they won big in New York, there were people who were just saying, well, that was a Saquon game. And, you know, Jalen didn't have a whole lot to do with it. You know, and you and I were even talking this time last week about, did the Eagles' game plan reflect a lack of confidence in the quarterback because they asked him to do so little?
Yep.
I didn't feel that way. I just kind of felt like the way the game was going, they were winning the game, dominating it by running the ball, so why not run the ball? I didn't really think it was a reflection on the quarterback or their confidence in the quarterback, so I didn't feel that way. But, you know, I did look at this game as a really good test. not that I thought that the Cincinnati defense was that great, but there was a lot at stake here. And Hurts came out and was just terrific. I mean, beyond, his numbers were really good, obviously. But I mean, beyond that, it was the way he looked.
Yep.
I mean, the way he just was so in the only way I could put it is he's so in command of everything that was happening out there. He was very comfortable. The line did a terrific job in protecting him, and he was just in complete command. And every time, he was just on point with his throws. His timing was great. He was very comfortable in the pocket. He moved when he had to move. He didn't look skittish. He wasn't trying to force anything. He just kind of let it come to him. And just watching the game, it was like any time he wanted to get the ball to Brown or Smith, he did. You know, it was just like targeted him 13 times, and they made 11 catches, which is remarkable production to wide receivers who were running they weren't running dink and dunk routes.
Mm-hmm.
He never put the ball in harm's way. He never felt like he was pushing it, which earlier in the season I thought he was, which sort of accounts for a lot of the turnovers earlier. He was just trying to force things sometimes when they weren't there. Not yesterday. And now you've had three straight games where his quarterback efficiency rating, passer rating, well over 100. Since the bye week, since he's come back from the bye week, completing over 70% of his passes. And the big thing is he has zero turnovers. And earlier in the year, that was the big problem. You know, you look at the personnel in this offense. You look at the playmakers, the people they have out there, the wide receivers, Barkley, Goddard when he's there. But you look at the playmakers they have on this team. If they just don't turn the ball over, this offense is very hard to stop.
Yeah.
It's very hard to stop. I mean, the trouble they were having earlier this year is they were making mistakes and they were turning the ball over. But if they can take that out of their game and just not turn the ball over, you're going to have a heck of a time stopping this offense.
Totally. And, Ray, it's made the whole operation is made a lot easier when the defense also does its job. Can you present what you see from Vic Fangio, his influence, and the evolution of this defense now over 2 months, because they too have taken a massive step forward?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I don't want to overstate it because as Bill Parcells used to say, I don't want to put him in Canton yet. but what a difference Cooper DeJean has made. You talk about a guy who's had an impact. He's been really good. I mean, almost every game now, he makes a big play. And the play he makes on Jamar Chase there on that fourth down play, where he recognizes it right away, knows exactly where to be, and makes a tackle on a guy that's one of the elite receivers in the league on fourth down and really changes the whole flow of the game. That's the kind of player he is. And it's a shame that he had the hamstring injury that slowed him down. And at the beginning of the year, he wasn't really able to contribute, but now he is, and being able to use him on that defense and be a regular part of that defense has made a huge difference. You know, you talk about Fangio. Everybody talks about coming into a season is, you know, how much players and young players have to learn from a new coach. If a new coach comes in, what we have to learn from this guy, we have to learn what he wants. Well, there's another side to that too, and that is that the coach has to learn about the players. You know, before he can start laying out the game plan from week to week, he has to be confident in knowing what he's asking these guys to do. Because at that point, he's really not that sure. He's got to see it himself before he knows exactly what he's going to ask these guys to do and be comfortable with it.
So the players have to
learn from the coach, but the coach has to learn about the players and what he can ask them to do. And I think week by week now, you're seeing that Vic is getting to that point where he now knows what he can ask Mitchell to do. He knows what he can ask DeJean to do. You know, he knows what he can ask some of these other guys on defense to do. And it's all sort of coming together. And yesterday, I mean, in the second half of that game, you know, I mean, they hamstrung Joe Burrow. I mean, it's a shame that he's playing behind such a bad offensive line. He's a great young quarterback, and they have done a very poor job of putting a line in front of him. But the Eagles took full advantage of it in the second half of that game and just shut that offense down.
So this is sustainable from your perspective? Like, this looks like the team, both sides of the football, are operating at peak efficiency, and it's not a mirage. This is not that Bengals team was overrated. Everyone thinks Burrow is better than what he really is. That team was about to be resurgent, I thought, personally. How do you feel about that, Ray? And really, it Is this real? Are we back atop the NFC? Because it feels like that's where we belong, and it feels like that, like, all of a sudden we're there. But that doesn't seem right, does it?
Well, not when you consider what, you know, the questions we were asking just a couple of weeks ago.
The concern level was so high, and now all of a sudden, looked really good for a couple of weeks. Is there concern left?
Yeah. I thought that yesterday was an enormous step forward. Now, I'm not prepared to say that this team's going to, run the table, or even say that they're going to win the division now, given the way Washington's playing. But I definitely feel, and the fans should feel, much better about this team now, because yesterday was just a very emphatic statement. I mean, that was it's tough to go on the road in the NFL and win a game that way, to win a game that handily against another team that coming going in. Hey, listen, Cincinnati was favored in that game.
Yeah, I mean, the 2.5 points, 3 points, some places.
Yeah, I mean, it opened to 2.5 and actually went up to 3 at one point. I mean, people were actually betting that game. They liked the Bengals, and they liked Burrow, obviously. But I mean, the Eagles went in there and just really and really took care of business. So, I mean, I think that I had major doubts after the Tampa game. I mean, that was just a pitiful performance, and I didn't know how they were going to come out of the bye. And frankly, coming out of the bye, they didn't look very good against Cleveland, and you're really scratching your head. Last week was a big win, but against a bad opponent. This was a win that you could kind of look at and say, okay, this is definitely something we can build on. And I think what you're seeing is, you talk about a team finding itself or finding an identity or establishing an identity. That's kind of where you are now. I mean, the offense, when Jalen's playing the way he's playing now and not making mistakes and turning the ball over, this is a very, very good offensive team.
Yeah.
And the defense is getting better by the week. So, if you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel pretty good about this. I don't think this was a one-off. I don't think this was a fluke. I don't think anybody can watch that game and fairly say, the Bengals had a bad day. Mm-hmm. No, the Bengals had a bad day because the Eagles played so well.
Yeah, we took it. We made it bad for them.
Yeah, and for a team that a couple of weeks ago, I think, whether they want to admit it or not, were probably asking a lot of hard questions about themselves. I mean, I think the Eagles right now probably feel pretty good about where they are.
Are we better than the Lions?
No. Not right now. Right now the Lions look to me like the best team in the league. I mean, even though the Chiefs are undefeated, they're still not offensively. They're still not where I know they're capable of being, and I suspect that by the end of the year they will be. I mean, they're undefeated largely because of their defense. But right now, in terms of top to bottoms, and certainly in the NFC, the Lions are the best team. Now, will they be there in week 17? I don't know. But right now, I mean, I think they look really, really good.
Ray, great stuff, my man. We look forward to talking to you next week. And who would have thought it could be a 6-2 team? It should be a 6-2 team when we talk to you next week. Thank you, Ray.
All right. Always a pleasure. Take care, guys.
Love it. There he is, the Diddy, Ray Dittinger. Well, it was just an awesome win by the Eagles. It really was. And Jalen was, James said it earlier, and I think it's accurate. It's hard to remember all the games from last year, especially early, because it's a little further back. But James made the point earlier, and I think it's right, that it's the best Jalen's played since the Super Bowl. I mean, he was awesome. And the Vic Fangio thing really does feel like it's taken hold, because I still don't think the Eagles have what you'd call the best defensive personnel. I really don't.
Well, Cooper's been a game changer.
No, he has, but it's not like up front you really still have classic go-get-the-quarterback guys. I mean,
they're tackling.
They are tackling.
That Jamar Chase play.
That's big.
The defender whiffs on that in previous
games. Well, Avonte Maddox probably doesn't make that tackle. He probably doesn't. And you also got to obviously read it.
What about BG?
Well, Brandon's playing really good.
It's just ridiculous.
He's really, it really does make you wonder if they'll bring him back and if he'll want to come back. If you missed it, a couple weeks ago, he left open on our show the possibility of playing again next year. And I got to think
he's been that dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, there have been a couple plays where he has caved aside. You talk about setting an edge against the run where the defensive end needs to, shock that tight end who's trying to block him and, get good extension and keep your outside arm free and, do all that stuff. Brandon Graham it's like shock and then awesome. Like he's taking that guy and planting him on the other side of the center. You know, he's caving that whole side of the line of scrimmage
awesome.
Down and ruining the run play.
That's great. Listen, both sides of the ball yesterday shined. You know, let's listen to Nick Sirianni after the game talking about the offense and also team identity. I liked his answer a lot here. Here's Sirianni postgame.
Saw more under center for the second straight week, a little more play action. Was that all by design?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
And is that more you trying to find the identity of this offense? Or
I think the identity of this football team is physical, and that's what we're going to try to play by each week is physical. Now, that doesn't – when you say physical, that doesn't mean you have to run it every time. You run it, you pass it. You can be physical in both aspects. On the long touchdown pass to Devontae, Jack Stoll was physical on that block on the perimeter. Wait till you see that one again where you're watching Jack Stoll block the perimeter and giving Jalen enough time to make a perfect throw and Smitty to make a big-time catch. And so physical. Identity gets overblown. I really believe that. Like, what's the identity? What's the identity? I've told you guys this a bunch. Like, our identity is play with great detail. Our identity is to play physical with toughness, and our identity is play together. And everything else changes game week to week. So that's going to change each and every week.
All right, Nick Sirianni yesterday. He'll be with us tomorrow on the program at 8:40. Brandon Graham will be with us tomorrow on the show at 7:40. BG in studio for a half hour, as he is every Tuesday. Jaw is also with us tomorrow at 7:25. So Tuesday, always a day where we've got a lot of guests and loaded up. And look, it's really fun to know that this season has come alive. Because it looked like as recently as a week or two ago that it could be a real dud of a year, even though they were slightly above 500. Now they're 5-2. They actually, for the first time this year, look good. Jalen looked great, and the defense is so much more improved. Let's go to Chuck right now, calling from Mount Airy. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, fellas and the lady. How are you?
Super.
Great.
Excited, man.
Hey, listen. This team, Fred Johnson, man. I'm giving these guys, the unsung heroes, some credit. Fred Johnson, Jack Stoll, guy Kyle Van Summeren. They would use the guy as the fullback.
Yep.
Man, those guys played amazing. I think shout out to Kellen Moore for putting that concept of the fullback man back into this offense, man. You know, this defense. Defense is coming along. I'm telling you. I'm impressed. Like, I'm back on. Like, they're finally starting to separate themselves from last year's stench.
I agree with that.
And that was my biggest concern. You know, that was my biggest real problem with watching this football team, is that I couldn't separate the 2023 Eagles from the 2024 Eagles. Now they're starting to turn the corner, and I'm really enjoying watching them play football. They look amazing, man. Jalen looked great. You know, he's decisive with the football. You know how great AJ is. I mean, Devontae, welcome to the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles season. I'm amazed, man. I mean, the safety play is there. Blankenship played well. Coop is really, man. Oh, man, he's grown on me. And Quinyon, you could pick Quinyon on anybody, you know, across the league. Listen.
It feels right that now, way. He doesn't care. He's out there. He's just going to play.
He's just going to play, John. And yep. I love guys like that.
Listen, me too.
They're not better than Detroit right now. Who's to say they're not going to be better in Detroit in January? That's what I'm looking forward to.
No, I agree. Right. I agree with that. That's and look, the Mets proved that because, you know, June 5th or 6th or whatever the games in London were. I mean, I remember being there, Chuck. The vibe between us as Phillies fans, which greatly outnumbered Mets fans, because what were they traveling over for? They had no pride in their team at that point. And to know that 4 months later it was the Mets that knocked out the Phillies, you know.
Well, the difference is, the Detroit Lions have an offensive coordinator who's been in place for how many years? How many years has Ben Johnson been there? And every year they say, oh, he's going to go take a head coaching job somewhere else, but he stays. This past season, people were incredulous that Ben Johnson stayed to be the offensive coordinator again in Detroit. So that's what we have to deal with right now. Like, we, as an offense, can we get our group up to speed the way their group is for having the same offensive coordinator for the last 3 years? And Ben Johnson is a lot more creative than what I've seen from Kellen Moore. I'd like to see, look, Kellen Moore's doing some really good things. I like where we're headed. I'd like to see it get even more creative. You know, that's the next step for all of this. I love the diversity of the running game, and I think everything is really taking massive leaps. But then I watched the Detroit offense, and I say, that's so fascinating. And I've never seen anything look like that before. Like, that's such a cool idea. You know, so we can do even more.
Chuck, good call, buddy. Let's listen to Jalen Hurts. You know, Chuck had just referenced the linebacker playing fullback. His name is Ben Summerin.
And Van Summerin.
Oh, Van Summerin. Ben Van Summerin.
Oh, come on, learn the man's name.
I don't know. He never touches the ball. But apparently he blocks pretty good.
Yes.
All right, let's listen to Hurts talking about Van Summerin, and then we'll get the actual fullback, John Rich's perspective on the incorporation of an LB as an FB, linebacker to fullback. Here's Jalen after the game.
We got Big Ben out there. He's had 2 weeks in a row where he's had package, and he's come in, and he's executed at a high level at the fullback position, and just honestly imposing your will at the end of those games. But I think that's a testament to how multiple we can be, the different things that Kellen has brought, and him putting those things and bringing them to light.
It's a nice wrinkle. I mean, it's working, seemingly. I can't speak to the exact specifics. John, can you get a sense? Is he hanging in there?
It's a linebacker playing fullback.
I mean, look, seven.
Tight end playing fullback. It really is sort of just cut off the backside. They're not asking him to do a ton.
Yep.
There have been a couple times where I've seen him, you know, try to lead in at the point of attack, like with a zone concept, and he's done a nice job covering guys up. And like Jalen said there, he's got a package where late in games when they're trying to do the 4-minute offense and run the clock out, or probably now in goal line, short yardage situations specifically, you'll see him. And I hope they'll fold some ideas in, like the drag slide, where he'll pop out the backside and you'll see the linebacker catch a touchdown pass at some point this season. It's a good idea to have someone who's willing to do some of that stuff. And when you're short on tight ends because Dallas Goedert is down with the hammy, you need another body.
Well,
it helps you
have a more diversified offense. And look, it's only a couple plays, but it does feel like the wrinkles are adding up in a good way for the Eagles with the way they're diversifying this offense. Let's also give you the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Today's question, which side of the ball was more impressive yesterday? Was it A, the Eagles' offense, or B, the defense? And that's a tough question to answer because they were both damn impressive. Which unit impressed you more, the O or the D? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Coming up in just the next couple of minutes here, Sirianni postgame in the locker room, addressing the guys after the game, what he said. You'll hear it shortly. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, Ed.
Pretty excited, Ed. I mean, we got a season all of a sudden here. And it's not just beating the freaking Giants and the Browns. That was great yesterday.
It really was good. Couple of things that I really was impressed with. Grant Calcaterra showed me a lot of, you know, his ability to get downfield. And despite only having played D3 wide receiver, I do know to some extent how demoralizing it can be to not be able to get off a stock block. And that play on the goal line where Calcaterra just owns a guy and Hurts just had a clear path to the end zone really makes me feel optimistic about him going forward. And when Goddard gets back, running a true 12 personnel.
That's a low bar, like, Ed. I mean, asking, that's a low bar, saying, hey, awesome job, you blocked a tiny little corner.
But Ed, I'll tell you something. Sirianni talked about it. I want to bring it back because 2 years ago, a team season ended on this type of thing. What Jack Stoll did, blocking that edge rusher on what turned out to be a Devontae touchdown, that's the kind of thing that Kyle Shanahan asked his tight end 2 years ago to do against Hassan Reddick. And it knocked his quarterback out and ended their season.
Like that, was it a defensive end that we're talking about?
Well, it was an edge rusher of some sort.
I thought we were talking about a DB.
No. I'm flipping. I'm going from the goal line play that Ed was talking about to a different tight end moment. Because, Ed, like, a coaching staff takes a chance when they ask a tight end, I'm going back to the touchdown to Devontae. When you ask a tight end to block an edge rusher, you're taking a chance. Might get him, might not. If he doesn't, might hurt your quarterback. And he had to hold that block for a long time. And he did. And I was glad Sirianni pointed it out after the game. And I was glad the broadcast pointed it out in the game. That was a big moment by Jack Stoll. It's not a catch, but without that block, you don't have a 50-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Stoll, the effort is there. The want to is there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with blocking, that is 90% of the duty.
Like, and that was a long developing play.
And want it. Yeah. And have the mental toughness to stick to it. You know, the stick-to-itiveness. That was Grant Calcaterra is a wide receiver originally who outgrew being a wide receiver, and now he's trying to learn to block to, you know, supplement his wide receiver ways. He can run like the wind for being gigantic. The want to is absolutely there. That's great to see. Yeah. That means that the coaches motivate these guys. That means that the message is not falling on deaf ears. That's a great sign for the organization.
All right, Ed, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, and I think so with Ben Van Summeren coming in these blocking packages, I just think it would be easier, you know, you put number 48 on him so he doesn't have to report as eligible every time, you know.
Yeah. All right, Ed, good stuff, man. Appreciate the call. Let's get to postgame. So some from Sirianni at the podium and then Sirianni in the locker room. Sirianni had been asked by Elliot, I believe it was, about the team vibe after the game.
What was it like in the locker room after that?
Yeah, it was exciting. It's hard to win in this league. Doesn't matter if you win by what we won by today. You win by one, you win by two, you're going to be excited. We put everything we have into this every single week. It really takes truly mentally tough people to be involved in this game where you pour every ounce of what you have into each week. And then you win or you lose and you do it again. And you do that 17 times. And so proud of these guys, of how mentally tough they are. And when you win, you feel it and you're excited about it regardless of how you win.
Well, let's go from Sirianni talking about the guys being excited to actually hearing them be excited. Post-game, you know, this audio used to come out typically later on Mondays and we would play it on Tuesday. But the Eagles are turning it around quicker, it seems like, this year. So by the time Monday morning happens, if they've gotten a win, we can give you the audio of what it sounded like when Sirianni addressed the guys. Here's that moment shortly after the game yesterday.
Remember, it takes everybody. Okay, so on Devontae's long touchdown, Jack Stoll had a block for about 8 seconds. Hey! Hey! Hey, Slay goes down. Isaiah comes in. Big time play. Hey, we were plus two. It's been a while since we've been plus two. We know what we do when we win the double positive. We win the game. So, Chauncey.
Yep.
Zach Vaughn.
Yeah.
Hey, get Isaiah one too, because he made that play. It took everybody, guys. Enjoy this. We know who we are, right? We know who we are. That's a tough play. This is a good football team. Success takes what it takes. I'll take care of you on the back end, but it takes what it takes. I'll see you Monday.
All right, I love it. Look, it's a great win. So, all right, James, he just said, now I'm forgetting the exact quote, but basically we know who we are, something like that. So what are they? Are they good? Are they very good?
I think they are definitely good, and they might be very good. I think we're still figuring it out, you know?
I mean, I know I'm still trying to figure it out because I am confused based on what I'd seen for a while, but I am highly encouraged.
I think, look, I say this every year, and I know we get into it, but the first month of the season, it's just really hard to take anything lasting away from it. You know, they really are playing themselves into shape. They really are, you know, it's like the preseason in a lot of ways. Since that ended, they've looked pretty good.
They've looked, look, the last couple games, the defense has looked outstanding for three games in a row, and the offense looked outstanding for the last game and a half. From basically around halftime of the Giants game to through yesterday. And again, if you didn't know it,
last three games, Jalen hasn't turned it over.
Yeah, but I didn't feel like he played well against the Browns or the first
strong.
Half of the Giants.
Well, the offense, I didn't trust the offense was doing much against those opponents. Like it just felt like it was, I don't know, hollow or something.
I agree.
I needed to get more reps before I felt like I could trust it.
I agree, man.
I don't know. Now I feel like I can trust it. I feel like it's real. I feel like they have proven that they work. They go into the lab. They come back out. It's better. They've improved the product.
Well, I think the buy came at a great time. I mean, they do feel like they have. And
the story that we've heard is that Jalen spent the whole time getting better. You know, like working on the things that he felt were lacking most. And we've heard stories also, like from Nick Sirianni after the game, talking about how AJ sort of like self-scouts too, and then he feels like he has to work on areas of his game, and he's tireless in his approach.
Well, the coaches made
some best friends are in there just like working. That's what they do for fun.
Yeah, like
and that's what I want for my starting, you know, star wide receiver and my quarterback. Like during the bye, when everyone else, you know, they're going on vacation, they're in the building watching film and getting better.
Well, one of the big things, the coaches also clearly changed some stuff. I mean, from a linebacker to play fullback to Cooper DeJean in the lineup to, you know, more of Jalen under center to more of just running the ball. I mean, it is very clear that they made adjustments. By the way, Jaws pumped up on NBC Sports Philadelphia after the game, not only on the win, but also about the team at large. Here's Jaws right after the game.
We know who they are now. This is a damn good football team. Some other notes. Excellent coaching today. Sensational team win. A complete team win. Precision offense led by Jalen Hurts, who was phenomenal. Smart, hard-hitting defense led by Vic Fangio. And that, you said that defense got after it. It was physical, and we beat a really good, really good Cincinnati Bengal football team.
Love it. 215-592-9494. All right, now that we figured that out, I need someone
to... Josh said that's a good team. A really good Bengal football team.
Yeah, I don't know that he's right about that. I know they have a great quarterback. I'm not sure they're really a great team or a good team because since he's got no offensive line. But now that we figured some stuff out, all right, Seltzer, help me figure this one out.
We had two offensive linemen out.
I'm aware. I get it.
But that's unbelievable.
Eagles backups might be better than the Bengals backups. I mean, Bengals offensive line looks weak. James, figure this one out for me. Because, you know, some stuff is coming into focus. This one hasn't yet. Why does Big Dom have a headset on
the
sideline?
So I had someone text me that yesterday. Right? The exact
Wechter
same thing.
Wechter text me.
What is going on?
I think it was Wechter. Yeah. No idea. Like,
Is he a coach?
Apparently. important than a coach? I don't know.
He's got to be in the know. I mean, he's omniscient. He knows everything. We've got to keep him, you know, informed.
They cracked me up.
What is the requirement? Nick now has the Italian flag, too. Like, Big Dom had the Italian flag on his hat previously, his Eagles hat on the sideline. Now Nick has that, too. I didn't think he had it previously.
No, Nick's had it for a while.
Yeah, he's had it for a while.
100%.
100%,
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. In past years, he's had that.
How do you qualify for the... The flag, the Italian flag.
I don't know.
If you want to wear it, I think
that's the...
That's pretty cool.
I think that's accurate. If you want to wear it.
If you want to wear it.
People think I'm Italian, but not Italian. Not Italian.
I found out I am 2.5% Italian.
Look at that.
Based on my, you know, the DNA stuff that I sent off. Yeah.
I
thought I had none. I have
2.5. How it sounded yesterday here on WIP with Merrill and Mike's calls. We'll get to that coming up shortly. Neil in North Jersey, right, Neil? Neil, what's going on, buddy?
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it.
What's up, Neil? It feels like it's been forever.
That was last week, and then it was forever, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
So the thing I think the pocket mobility of Jalen Hurts is what really impressed me more. I mean, the throw to Kelce's error, where he slides in the pocket to buy some extra time to get him open, that, we haven't really seen that since the MVP year. And, you know, I've often said that this team will – be as limited as Jalen Hurts' mistakes. But this team's potential will only go so far as Jalen Hurts' ability in the pocket. And that's a thing that I thought you saw take a major jump. And he hit receivers in stride. They had timing. And that's what you want from a quarterback that you're paying, you know, $40, $50 million is to throw from the pocket, hit guys in stride.
No question. Yep.
And not just throw that deep ball to Devontae Smith, which, while impressive, you know, that's just throwing it up for a receiver in part to get it. You want to see your quarterback have the rhythm and the timing. And guys, and the receivers are getting open, and that kind of stability in the pocket and knowing that he's going to make those throws, that's only going to make us better, along with a running game that, you know, Saquon Barkley, since game one, has saved this season. So if you combine those two things, you know, you're on the right path, and I thought our defense played well. You know, the Bengals went 11 for 12 to start the game throwing the ball, but the defense adjusted, and shut them down afterwards. So I thought this was the most complete performance we've seen from the Eagles this year on all sides of the ball.
Listen, I think it's the most complete performance they've had since they beat San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. I mean, it was a great... Now, look, I don't know how good Cincinnati is, and that makes me take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But it was very impressive, Neil. I mean, it was... They by the end of that game, they tore apart Cincinnati. Fourth quarter, there were moments where you could just tell there was nothing Cincinnati could do. I mean, it was almost like the Eagles were in the four-minute, you know, offense for multiple drives in the fourth quarter. Because one ended in a touchdown. They broke their will.
Yeah.
And one ended in a field goal. And seven out of the eight drives yesterday, the Eagles scored. Four touchdowns, three field goals. But none of that should diminish in any way what the defense did. They were outstanding. Let's listen to N'Kobe Dean after the game. I like this. So this is, you got some humor here from N'Kobe, but you also got perspective on the defense's day. Here's N'Kobe Dean after the game.
I told you before you came here today that you'd hold Joe Burrow and the Bengals to 17 points. What would you have said?
I was like, 17? Y'all think they're going to score that much on us? Oh, you know, you got to be confident in yourself. So it was a good game, though. It was a good game. They came out. We knew who we was playing. We knew we could make a whole lot of throws. And they played, make a catch, and make a whole lot of plays. So for us just to hold them to 17 points, which to our standards, that's baseline. That's as most as we want to score, but there's a lot of things we cleaned up. Their first drive, they held it for 10 minutes. We couldn't get out the field on third down. So a lot of things we can clean up, offense and defense and special teams.
I bet N'Kobe a little verbal flex right there, right?
I like that. The self-criticality.
That's great.
N'Kobe.
That's great, man. Listen, he's a good dude, and he has become someone. I'm not quite sure what he is yet as a starting linebacker, but he is better than I thought he would be for sure.
And he's a guy that when Vic Fangio sends him, he generates play. It generates plays. He generates action. Mm-hmm. You know, like when he goes, sometimes you send a linebacker and it's just, it falls flat. You know, it's kind of a dud.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of times that's what we watched with our inside linebackers over the last few years.
Well,
you know, we'd send them on a single backer dog and it's like they just get swallowed up by the back who's blocking or just get washed up in the stunt from the D-line or, you know, it's just not, it doesn't work. Why do it? It felt like, why bother?
So
more often than
not. I agree with you, John. Part of the reason why when the Eagles send these linebackers, it's so important because we shouldn't get it twisted and act like everything's great just because they got a great win. The front four is still not getting there that often. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
If you really ranked up the pass rushers, I mean, I guess Brandon Graham's probably been the best this year. Now, Jalen Carter gets double teamed to an extent, so that's a different sliding scale of how he has to be judged. But it's not like he's getting home much. Sweat had the one sack last week. You know, it's not.
We had one sack.
It's not like Huff is, you know, doing much.
Wait, no, that's not us.
He took off on a third and 22? Was that when the Burrow one that I'm thinking of?
That was incredible.
I was like, seriously? Only one person I think was close to him.
That was an amazing. Joe Burrow had two incredible plays in this game where he extended plays with his legs. That was very impressive.
Yeah.
By the way, also impressive, the Eagles offensively, we referenced it a couple minutes ago, salting the game away at the end. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni about the team, fourth quarter, just doing what they had to do to impose their will and win this game.
The long drive by the offense to take that much time off the clock. Like I said, Kellen did a great job calling it. Jalen did a great job of, you know, just managing a clock. That's not an easy thing when you're trying to bleed the clock because, you know, there's different things involved and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of, you know, presence like Jalen had up there at the line of scrimmage and Jalen just, you know, I thought Jalen had a really good game, made throws, you know, in big time moments in that drive and, you know, big time throws to put us up seven and then to put us up, you know, even more. I thought it was a great play. We made this, even this, the slant pass that he made to AJ that got us into comfortable field goal range to put us up 10. So, a lot of credit. Obviously, all the credit always going to go to the players. They played their butts off, and they played really hard, and they played really physical.
Guys, this was a 17-17 game with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And then the Eagles scored 20 straight points to win the game basically in a blowout. It was awesome. All right, Merrill Montage coming up in a moment. How it sounded here on WIP with Merrill making the calls. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
That clearly was the most complete game the team has played in since sometime in 2022.
The San Fran game, they tore him apart. And the Eagles won that game, I think, 31-7, something like that.
So two things that stand out for me. One, on Sirianni, I happened to be in the car yesterday listening to the Bengals broadcast of that game because it was on Sirius because I was on my way to an airport. And
do they have that one guy who's always like, yeah?
They actually weren't bad. They actually weren't bad. But the thing that I wanted to say about Sirianni before I get to Jalen, listening to it from the Bengals broadcast perspective, this is the pressure, and we never talk about this, this is the kind of pressure that Nick Sirianni and his philosophy on fourth down and third down and how they treat the two basically as one down.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pressure that it puts on an opposing head coach like Zach Taylor, who I think is a really good coach, to go for that on fourth down on his own 39-yard line at that point in the game where it's still only a one-score game. And it was a bad decision to make, but it's driven by the knowledge that the Eagles are going to make these decisions. And like the Bengals color guy said, when the Eagles do this on third and one, they absolutely know they're going to get this because they have a play that works every time. And we get the third and one, and we can't execute it because we don't have something like that in our back pocket. And I think it's important to recognize that because that comes from the head coach who sets the tone for the football team.
Well, you know what, Ken? I'll give you a half on that, but I think a lot of it comes from Jalen Hurts and the ability that he has better than probably anybody that has ever played football. To be a quarterback that can convert on a sneak. I mean, the Eagles went for a fourth and one from, I don't know, maybe their own 40 yesterday?
I was surprised.
Something like that, that was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't go for that if you don't have a guy that you know gives you close to a 90% chance to convert it. Now, he's not the only guy, and obviously you got the pushers and you got the blockers, but without Jalen, that play is not the same. And without that, Nick would approach not only that play different, but the third down decision different that leads to that play.
Don't they seem like they're stretching it? Like it's not just a yard.
Yes.
Like one was like I'm like, oh, this is a little, you know,
yes.
They're doing it.
And you guys know, I still think the league should take it out, but it's in and the Eagles are exploiting it.
So the execution part, you're right, but the philosophy of we're going to treat third and fourth down as one down to get that last yard or 2 yards or whatever, that comes from the head coach. And on Jalen, look, I think this is the offense. This is the best version of the Eagles' offense that I think it's what they've been trying to get to. If I see a stat line for Jalen every week of 16 for 20, where they run the ball more than they throw it, but when they do throw the ball, because he only completed 16 passes, but he still had a bunch of chunk plays.
Sure did.
You know, I think that's the best version of this offense where. This is all they're asking Jalen to do to win football games. And what he did yesterday was impressive, but this is all they're asking him to do. And Nick acknowledged post-game yesterday that when Jalen went back and self-scouted during the bye, he himself found where he felt like he was forcing throws. And as long as he's just not trying to force throws, these plays are there. And I think this is a really good football team. And and for everybody who was jumping off, after week three, you know, I don't know how much room there is left for you on here. But
all right, Ken. I got you, my man. Appreciate the call. Let's listen to how it sounded here yesterday because, you know, Ken had just referenced some big plays. There sure were. And those plays are captured in the Merrill Montage. I got to hear it, Seltzer. We need to hear a Merrill Montage.
We're going to need a montage.
Merrill Reeves and Mike Quick at Paycor Stadium in downtown Cincinnati, what is known as the Jungle, as the 4-2 Eagles meet the 3-4 Bengals. In a series that began in 1971, the Eagles have never beaten the Bengals here in Cincinnati. Merrill goes back, he pumps, he fires wide open down the far sideline. Eric Aull, the tight end, I don't know how open he could be. It is a first down. Stretching for the ball was Mike Gesicki. He killed them as a Miami Dolphin, and he's killing them this afternoon. Back goes Burrow. He's looking. He's rolling. Firing. Caught. Touchdown. Guess who? Chase. Hurts into a long count. He is calling. He is sneaking. He is pushed. And I think he's in. I think he's in. Good news. The Eagles broke the plane. It is a touchdown. Eagles will get the ball to begin the third quarter. This is the end of the first half with the score 10-10. Hurts takes the snap. He's back. Here comes the rush. He lets it go on the far side. Easily completed on the far side to Devontae Smith. Across the 40, up to the 50 with a 21-yard pickup. Hurts gives it off to Barkley, and Barkley has the first down with 3 or 4 yards to spare.
I like
this. He is so tough to stop. On the first down, Hurts takes the snap. He's going to carry himself. He's going to run. He's going to score! Hurts! And the Eagles take the lead for the first time in this game. Shotgun. Hurts looks. He's pumping. He is going deep downfield, and it is caught!
Devontae Smith! Touchdown! Over the shoulder!
The ball!
Spectacular!
Yeah, you get it to Devontae Smith anywhere in his vicinity, and this is what he does.
Fly, Eagles, fly into the end zone.
Hand off to Moss, and he won't go. He'll lose a yard, maybe 2 yards. They smack them in the backfield.
Look at Brandon Graham. Look at the energy that the old guy brings to this defense.
Burrow back. He tries to swing it out to Chase, and he's brought down for a loss by DeGene. DeGene went into the backfield, and the Eagles take over on down.
Oh, my. What a play by the rookie Cooper DeGene. Rodgers makes the play on the ball. He tips the ball. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the recipient of the tip ball for the interception. The Eagles have it going back the other way.
That is unbelievable. Hurts gives to Barkley. Takes off to the outside.
Barkley laying out some punishment. Tiptoeing down the sideline.
He goes out of bounds inside the two.
He was on a tightrope.
And he nearly took it all the way.
It goes to Gesicki, and he said the ball is loose.
Ball's
and the Eagles
again.
Recover.
Yeah.
The ball is loose and the Eagles recover. Now the rest of the fans can go home. 3-2-1. It's over. The final score. The Eagles 37. The Bengals 17.
Well, just an awesome win, and it gets the Eagles to 5-2 and really puts them in a great spot to make a surge in November even more toward the playoffs. Because with 5 wins in a 17-win season, I mean, a lot of times, guys, you only need to win 9 games to make the playoffs. I mean, you can make an argument. They might need – I'm serious. You might need only to win 4 more
okay,
games.
Okay, don't put us in that position after what happened to them last year with the collapse.
Right.
They're at 5 now.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
they train wreck down this season, I might seriously harm my mental health.
Well, don't do that. But Eagles, don't do it to us.
Yes.
Jalen was a big part of what they did yesterday. He was so great. Best he's played since the Super Bowl. Let's listen to Hurts after the game, interviewed by CBS postgame. About a minute interview. Some good stuff here. A reporter and Jalen on the field.
You pretty much blew out a really good team. What led to the production and efficiency offensively?
I think the number one goal that's been on our mind to achieve is just to find our rhythm. And I think we haven't really had that all year, not to the level that we've wanted. But I think we put out a good showing today, and we're getting real close to where we want to be. Obviously, when you're efficient, you can score early. You know, we scored early. We take what we get with that. Just keep building. But I think it was a good showing for us as a team. We turned the ball over, had the turnover on downs as well, so that always helps.
We saw the stars really make an impact, whether it was Saquon, A.J., Devontae with a beautiful catch in the end zone there. How does that reflect the potential for this group?
We just want to be where our feet are, you know. I know, you know, obviously we have a lot of talent, and the number one thing is optimizing that talent. And so sometimes that can be a hard thing to do when you have so many miles to feed, but I think we're building and trying to find our stride and sit ourselves in identity. For us.
Yeah, that identity word has been thrown around a lot. What do you feel like you added to that identity in this game?
I think we played team football today. I think we played complementary football. The way we played on defense, stopping a really good offense, great players on offense over there, and then how we came out versus a really good defense, a defensive coordinator, and played efficient football offensively on our side. So all of those things come into hand. We just want to continue to play clean football, be efficient, and put points on the board.
Outstanding victory by the Eagles. It really was. And Jalen Hurts was just tremendous in that game. First quarter, I thought he was a little slow out of the gate, But then he really, really picked it up and played the best ball he's played since 2022.